Welcome to Geekabod's Weird Cinema. We're back for a new season. So, live from Grand Forks Best Source, and tonight we're going to be joined by Paul.
Yo! Looking forward to today's show.
We are going to be doing The Lost Boys. I think it's a Joel Schumacher film, if I remember right.
Yes. Accurate.
What?
Accurate.
Accurate? Yes. Yep. And this is a great movie. It's a great vampire movie from the 80s. So
one of the best movies from the 80s.
Yeah, you're right. It is one of the best movies from the 80s. But before we do that, we're going to have a shout-out to our friends at River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Kung Fu Panda 4, Dune Part 2, Migration, and Godzilla vs. Kong, which starts on the 28th. So, find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. Wizard wants his stroganoff delivered to the studio here.
Whoops, wrong one.
Sorry about that. So, wizard phone. So, all right, we're going to start talking about this. But beforehand, you know, two great actors in this movie were Kiefer Sutherland and Corey Feldman, who also were in the 1980s movie Stand By Me.
Kiefer Sutherland was in Stand By Me?
He was Ace.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because so, I was going to say Kiefer Sutherland, I mean, you know, I think he was in acting since he was a kid because I think his dad was an actor as well, but I think maybe The Lost Boys was like his breakthrough movie that really made him stand out.
I don't think he really did much after Lost Boys, though, because I really haven't seen anything with him.
Oh, he does all the different, those like miniseries. What's the...
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he did 24?
Yeah, 24. Yeah, that was like the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that went on for a lot of seasons.
He was a villain in Phone Booth, another Schumacher movie?
Yep. Yeah, he's been in all kinds of stuff. He even has a new one out right now. That I can't. I don't know the name of it.
Well, he's very prolific.
The producer was Richard Donner, and I believe Richard Donner was the guy who directed Stand By Me.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure on that, so don't quote me.
And
but
you know,
it sounds familiar.
This movie just really, you know, well, first off, it brings back memories. But this movie really, like, what is it? Encapsulates? Is that the word?
Encapsulates
the 80s. I mean, you know, it starts up.
Look at their fashion, you know, what they're wearing in this movie. It's pure out of the 80s. And there's a scene where there's a guy playing a saxophone at a concert. And you could tell it's the 80s because he's like all glistening with like sweat. And
yeah, nobody plays the shirtless saxophone like that guy.
Yeah. I'm going to say this later, but the soundtrack to this movie is awesome.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I mean, it's really cool because, you know, it takes these two brothers and they're moving into a new town.
Carla. And yeah. Because their mom had gotten a divorce and
moving
to the grandpa's house. And the grandpa's kind of creepy. They say it's like something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, to quote the movie.
Yeah. And it's good. It's really cool because it has, you know, the older brother who's, you know, in his late teens. And then the other brother who's, you know, probably like Corey, which is like 12, you know, but both of them getting to meet, you know, getting around these new people and trying to make new friends. And, you know, I mean, I kind of experienced that too during the flood, you know, having to move to a different city. I mean, even though it was just like, mine was only an hour away, but imagine going from Grand Forks to California and having to try to meet new friends.
Yeah.
And then they just happen to be vampires.
Well, and then they initiate him too. Yeah. But my favorite characters in this movie I'm going to talk about are the Frog Brothers. And the Frog Brothers, there's actually two sequels to the Lost Boys tribe, and I think it's called Bloodlines or something like that. And that's all about the Frog Brothers, like, exterminating vampires. But the Alan Frog, played by Jameson Newlander, actually becomes a vampire. And Corey Feldman, as Edgar Frog, has to kill him in one of the later movies.
Oh, okay, yeah. And, you know, it was kind of cool, too, because when they, you know, when he first meets them, it's in a comic book shop.
And he's looking for a Batman, I believe it was number 15 or something like that, and they go, there are only...
Speaker a little bit more.
There are only four in existence, and he goes, well, I'm looking out for the other three.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's funny, too, because, I mean, people don't realize it, but, you know, this was the movie of the Corys. Because Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, I think they did a couple of things together, but they were super popular, and everybody knows them as, you know, obviously, I think it's Corey Feldman that kind of went on to be kind of a nut job. Now he has a band and everything.
Yeah, he was a great actor. He was pretty prolific in the 80s.
Yeah, and Corey Haim, he committed suicide. And both of them had, like, really disturbing pasts because I'm almost... positive on this, but Corey Haim and Corey Feldman were both molested as children during, you know, this kind of Lost Boys era by Kevin Spacey.
Well, hopefully we don't get pulled off air for saying that.
Hey, you're just referencing a story, man. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, that's the rumor that, yeah, you know,
that's what he alleged.
Yeah, Corey Feldman, I think he still says that. Like, yeah. I think he even wrote a book on it or something.
Well, I know he kind of busted it out, and that's how Kevin Spacey kind of got, you know, canceled as a result of it. Mm-hmm. And Spacey kind of says he has no recollection of it because the person alleged it said it was like over 30 years ago in the 80s. So,
well, yeah. Corey Feldman plays Edgar Frog in all the other Lost Boys movies too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's just this going back to the movie though. I mean, this movie is just, it's so entertaining. And, I mean, they got to be some of the best vampires that you see in any movie.
Well, the vampire effects in this movie was good because it was very simplistic,
mm-hmm.
but it got the point across that these are vampires. And
yeah, and they had, like, their den, you know, which was really cool. Wait,
did you notice, though, when it shows their den, there's a Jim Morrison poster
yep.
on the wall? That's yeah. one of my weird stats for today, is that there was a Jim Morrison poster. And they play the song People Are Strange in the actual movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
But the one that really came across to me was the big song in the movie was Cry Little Sister. I forget who it was by. But they played it like three times in the movie. Because that was like the Lost Boys theme.
Yeah, I wonder who the band was on that. Because that's a really good song.
Well, you know, I know it's a... I don't remember his name. But I know he released an album. I think it was.
What was the name of the song?
Cry Little Sister.
Okay, I'll look it up here.
Yeah, it's kind of like an eerie song that, yeah, like you said. I mean, it's the theme song basically to the Lost Boys. And
well, and he actually, I was reading an interview with him. I don't remember his name though. He actually released an album, which was they were going to make a Lost Boys musical, if I remember right, for like stage. And he did all the songs for that, and I believe he released the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, too, I mean, why don't you talk about, you know, him drinking what he thought was wine, but he was drinking the blood.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he sees, like, starts to hallucinate, but his kind of conversion into becoming a vampire, and you know, all of a sudden he's wearing sunglasses all the time. He's starting to get, you know, he can't get it in the light.
It's like that 80s song, I wear my sunglasses at night.
Yeah.
But,
and you know, and then the final scene, you know, where he's fighting,
David Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
You say it was Cry Little Sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's according to Wikipedia, a song written by English singer-songwriter Gerard McMahon and Michael Maneri, performed by McMahon.
Oh, yeah. Assuming that was probably a one-hit wonder.
Did you remember the grandpa? The grandpa was so anal about everything. Don't touch the second shelf in the refrigerator because that's where I keep my root beer and my moon pies or whatever they were.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, what a perfect, whoever, you know, who the director was, but what a perfect setting for them to move into with the log cabin with all these antlers and everything on the wall.
I thought that was funny.
Gerard McMahon is what it's officially credited to.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said earlier, there's actually a quote in the movie. He goes, "This looks like something out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre."
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at it and just the way that like they were all doing their stuff. I mean, it's perfect to think of, you know, how teenagers are, you know, that are like, you know, 17, 18, you know, they're out on their dirt bikes, you know, going to the fairgrounds at night, just, you know, kind of causing havoc. And then
I like that scene, those scenes with the wharf or whatever you want to call it, with all the rides. And
yeah, and then you got Corey, you know, the little brother, and he's into the comic books.
Sam.
And yeah, he's into the comic books, and you know, they're, you know, doing what, you know, 12, 13 year olds would be doing, you know, fashioning these weapons to go hunt vampires and stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's just such a good movie.
The Frog Brothers give Sam a comic, and Sam goes, "I don't read horror comics." And anyways, he goes, "Well, this one could save your life."
Oh yeah, that's right. Yep.
I like how, like, when they kill the vampires, that all the blood just sprays out of them. It's like super gore. You know, it reminds me of like Evil Dead with all the blood just shooting out everywhere. You know, it's like there could possibly not be that much blood in the human body.
Yeah. Yeah. I just watched Army of Darkness on Saturday.
Well, here's the funny thing about it. Like when they kill the one in the bathtub, all the blood just starts spraying out of all the faucets and the toilet and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and then obviously his mom, she hooks up with the head vampire, yeah. And you know, and that's another cool thing to the storyline too, is, you know, they, in order to get rid of them, they have to kill the head vampire, and they have to figure out who it is.
Well, yeah, and he says, you know, he wanted her boys to become his boys, you know, or some quote like that. You know, he wanted them to get together, you know.
Yeah, because he was trying to make her the, like, his main female vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this, like I said, this movie, it goes in a lot of cool directions, and
I like the mythos, like, you know, a vampire can only come into your house if it's invited. And he did eat garlic, the head vampire, but it didn't kill him, you know. But all the other vampires were, you know, without, you know, with garlic, it would burn them and things like that.
I don't recall, like, the. Are you sure the other ones, they were affected by garlic?
Yeah, they were, because that one fell in the bathtub with the garlic.
Oh, yep, that's right, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, it was just really cool seeing how, you know, the Michael kind of gets introduced into, you know, this whole different city type of life, and, you know, the scenes of, like I said, them going to fair, the pool hall, and that kind of thing. And
what about the maggot noodles or the maggot rice and the?
Yeah, that was after he drank noodles. The blood, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then,
which is kind of a Eucharist in a sense, you know, because this is Good Friday, so I didn't know this, but
yeah.
It's a form of like a vampire initiation Eucharist.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, and then the scene where they're all hanging upside down and they're.
There was a scene in this movie that really intrigued me, when he's like floating outside the window and he's like tapping on the window. You know what that reminded me of? There's a scene in Stephen King's Salem's Lot where the vampire is outside the window and just, you know, like tapping and.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, you know, trying to get back to the ground. He couldn't control it, you know. Yeah, and you know, when they are going into, you know, they're on their dirt bikes, but then all of a sudden they all take off into the fog and they start flying and Michael doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a really, really cool scene. And then you got the music to go with it. Yeah. This movie is just entertaining all the way around. And
I would recommend it. You know, it's probably one of the best vampire movies of the 80s. I don't know if Salem's Lot was made in the 80s, but that's a pretty good vampire movie. And another good vampire movie, the remake sucked, mm-hmm. in my opinion. The remake sucked, but Fright Night.
Mm-hmm.
The original Fright Night was awesome.
If there were two movies that, if somebody said, name me two movies that remind you of the 80s, there would be two that came to mind. The Lost Boys and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They've been doing new stuff with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Though. Yeah, but the original 80s one, I mean, that was just, it was awesome. And obviously, you know, this one was awesome too because they had a budget of $8.5 million. Box office, they did $32.2 million. And it had an 85% approval rating. And the critics even 77%.
They made sequels to this, but I'm surprised that they didn't actually make a remake. But I don't think they could do a remake and give it justice.
I'm sure that they're going to try to pull one out here.
Everything's being remade.
Yeah, everything's. And they'll just ruin it.
It's like how you said, like, Beetlejuice 2 might be ruined.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to ruin Beetlejuice.
But that was another, you know, like, good movie of the 80s was Beetlejuice. In my book, a couple movies that remind me of the 80s are Lost Boys, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and Beetlejuice. Those are good picks?
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. So, yeah.
You guys got final thoughts on Lost Boys?
1 second here. Let me get my weird stats.
You want to jump to weird stats?
Well, we can talk a little bit more if you want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to kind of put your final thoughts on Lost Boys there and then do weird stats or however you want to do it.
Well, you know, this is a great movie. The effects are good. They're very minimalistic for effects. I think the only thing that was really big was like the feet, like the bat feet that they had.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kiefer Sutherland, I mean, he did such a good job playing a vampire. And like you know, and the lead bad guy.
You know, it seems like the character Ace from Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. Keith Sutherland is like a method actor, I would say.
I've heard that about him.
he plays a good bully.
Yeah, yeah, he does play a really good bully.
I like in Stand By Me when they're going down the street and he has the baseball bat and they're like knocking over mailboxes.
Either of you think there's like a legacy for this movie that it inspired other vampire movies to this day?
Probably. There's something very psychosexual about drinking blood, apparently.
Oh.
I watched a documentary on it, and it's on vampire movies.
Well, and you know, you said that Kiefer Sutherland, he plays a good bully. Well, you know who also plays a really good bully? His dad. Isn't his dad Donald Sutherland?
Yep, Donald.
Yeah, and he's the, you know, the Snow, or what is it, Snow from the Hunger Games?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, really? he's the, I don't know, the president or the king or whatever you call him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Donald Sutherland, he plays a really good bully, too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird when you see Donald Sutherland and see that Kiefer Sutherland is his kid.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Fiona Dourif and Brad Dourif. I think it was Fiona Dourif, played in the last two Child's Play movies. And, of course, Brad Dourif is the voice of Chucky. But they actually, for the Chucky TV show, they took Fiona Dourif. They like made a prosthetic for the upper part of her face because she looks so much like her father. So she played Charles Lee Ray back in the 80s, 80s version of Chucky, because he couldn't play it anymore because he didn't look like he did in the first movie.
No.
That's another lineage thing. Another really good lineage thing is the Sheens.
Yeah.
Emilio. Because Martin Sheen played magician in an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people realize, too, that the other one needs a sheen, but he changed his name. What I can't remember.
Yeah. Emilio Estevez.
Yes. Yep. It was Emilio Estevez?
Yeah, he was a sheen, and he changed his last name.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, yep, that's right.
But we should go to stats.
What do you got?
Coitus Cuddle. There's two sex scenes in this movie. Body count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. About 10. Death Jitsu, one dead security guard, two dead by above attack. Mass death by vampire bite, one frog brother. I don't know. One vampire killed by bathtub, one death by bow and arrow into a stereo, which is kind of funny because he actually says death by stereo, and that's a classic line from this movie. And my favorite one was Grandpa crashing through the front of the house with the car, and he goes, na 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 na.
Yep. And they, you know, and just looking at the, you know, the image behind you there, you know, it really has that kind of, not Motley Crue, but Billy, who's the Money Money guy? Not Billy Idol.
Money Money, that one?
Yeah, is that Billy Idol?
I'll look it up. But,
you know, just kind of the, you know, the outfits and everything from back in the 80s like that, you know, they all got the ear piercings and the, you know, the wearing the gloves with the holes cut in them and chains and all that.
ABBA?
No. I think it's Billy Idol.
Here's some weird things that
you know,
I
the
noticed.
Weird wedding.
White wedding.
White wedding.
Oh, white wedding, yeah.
Here's some weird things I saw, though. One Jim Morrison photo in Hideout. Grandpa's obsessed with taxidermy. The vampires eat Chinese food. Maggot rice, worm noodles, Sam versus wears a garlic necklace, and the Frog Brothers tosses garlic water.
Yeah, you know, like I said, this was just for the effects that they had back in the 80s. I mean, this one really knocks it out of the park.
I wonder who did the special makeup effects in this movie.
I couldn't tell you.
Could you look that up, Dale?
Yeah, you go keep talking. I'll look it up here.
And this, so what's surprising though is that, you know, directed by this Joel Schumacher, and you got the movies of The Client, Phantom of the Opera, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin.
We did Batman Forever.
Those movies were terrible. Oh, it's surprising that this guy was the same director.
I like Batman Forever.
Oh yeah, you reviewed Batman Forever on an earlier show. Batman and Robin, those nowadays it's like so bad it's funny in a campy, ironic way, but at the time, people dumped on it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the Batman series went under. And we were talking about Batman earlier because Sam is looking for a Batman comic at the comic book store.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, you know, I think I've heard of The Client. I've heard of Phantom. I've heard of all these Joel Schumacher films. But
the person who did makeup for The Lost Boys was Greg Canham.
Never heard of him. But he did a good job.
Yeah, very good job.
But you got anything else you want to say, Paul?
Costume designer was Susan Becker for The Lost Boys.
Oh, they just threw every 80s thing that they could in there.
Yeah, and I mean, it was cool to see that, you know, these teenagers were they turn into vampires, but, you know, they made them, like, not cheesy vampires or, like, making
like Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Or stereotypical Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, that they basically took the effects probably from this one. But they didn't make them, like over-the-top vampires. It was, you know.
I didn't like Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, that's a goodie. That was a good one.
I thought that was a great movie.
Yeah. Really good
I didn't like it.
But that was more of like a
romantic vampire.
Yeah, and, you know, vampires that have been around for centuries.
More of a drama than, like, an action, you know, romp stomp like this one.
I read the graphic novel to Interview with a Vampire, and it just didn't do well with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, but instead of it, you know, going back to, you know, these vampires are thousands of years old, you know, these are just, they're, you know, I don't know if, I can't remember if they were supposed to be really old in this one, or if they were just.
Because they were kids who. You know, in the beginning, they're showing all the missing persons photos, mm-hmm. and it's all the people in the photos are the vampires.
Yeah, but how long ago were they missing, though? That's something I'll have to look back on, because I can't remember if, like, Kiefer Sutherland, even though that they were, you know, teenagers and, you know, they were trying to recruit Michael, I can't remember if they were actually probably, like, 50 or 60 years old.
Well,
but they were still obviously teenagers.
You'll never grow old. You'll never die.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if they went missing back, you know, like 30 years even before Michael. So they were actually probably maybe 50 or 60 years old.
Yeah.
But they just were looking.
Well, the little kid.
Oh, that's right. The star. She had the little boy.
The little boy. It shows a picture of the little boy in a missing person's photo.
Yeah. What was the deal with him though? Because he would never get older than that, and there was something that went on with him, because was trying to protect him.
He got cured in the end because they kill Max, the head vampire.
Okay,
Icky the wizard has remained silent this entire episode. Has he have any thoughts on the Lost Boys?
I like it. Mikey likes it. Mikey really, really likes it. Sorry, wizard. We had a special guest on today, so he kind of wanted the guest to get in.
Yep, stealing your attention there, wizard.
Maybe you should call the wizard phone one of these days. And
so, wizard, do you remember? So, Star, her son was the little boy vampire, and I remember her trying to protect him, and she actually never became a full vampire because she didn't kill somebody.
Yeah.
But what? I can't recall what the big deal was, like, why her little boy got turned into a vampire.
I have no clue.
Yeah, that's wizard doesn't know either?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Well, that'll be something that people can let us know in the chat, or we'll have to look back on, and maybe I'll have to watch the movie again.
Well, you good?
Yeah, I think I covered everything. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen this, but I just wanted to jump on because I just love this movie so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paul,
yeah,
for coming on.
All right. Ready to hear some words from Executive Properties?
Yes, I am.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
What you got in store for us next week there, Icky?
2001 Maniacs. It's a Robert Englund film, but it's also a Herschel Gordon Lewis film. Herschel Gordon Lewis is known as the godfather of gore. He made, I think it was Wizard of Blood. He made Blood Feast, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I've never heard of him, so that should be interesting.
Herschel Gordon Lewis next week. Stay weird, Grand Forks. Thank you.